Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, let's begin. We are up to Perek Aleph Pasuk Chaf Vav. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Vav. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Pasuk Chaf Vav. Pasuk Chaf Vav is a continuation of the two psukim, the two psukim before Pasuk Chaf Dal and Pasuk Chaf Hei, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Yan. Because I called out to you and you refused to listen, I have extended my hand and you have not hearkened. Vatifres atzasi. Oh, fuck, okay, very good. That's right. Vatifres atzkol atzasi v'sechachti. You have annulled, you were mevatel, you cancelled my plans and my musar lo avisem. You refused to listen, you refused to want. Alo avisem means, according to the parish of the Mitzudos Sion, you lo ritzisem. Now Pasuk Chaf Vav comes in and says, what is going to be the consequences of rejecting and not wanting? So it's a very, very frightening pasuk, frightening series of psukim. Gam ani be'eitchem eschok, when a tragedy, aid is normally, is that what it means in modern Hebrew, means a tragedy. The Mitzudos Sion says, inyan tsar u'mikra ra, a bad occurrence, an evil occurrence. I think what we call tragedy, or mikra ra. Aid, the holiday. Oh, that's there. It's called a holiday.
It means an occasion, but it can be a positive or a negative one.
Okay, from the context of this pasuk, it's yeah.
Aid for a holiday.
As a holiday, aid. Okay, very interesting. From the context here, clearly refers to, as the Mitzudos Sion says, inyan tsar, a time of pain, umikre ra, an evil occurrence. Kamo halo aid lo ovel, an aid for harm, for pain. Okay, so here gam ani be'etchem eschok, I will enjoy, I will laugh. Eschok is a very scary term. Eschok means to take delight. These two terms really do not they don't go together. Because aid is a time of tragedy. In time of tragedy, you don't enjoy. But here it's the Kadosh Baruch Hu is one that's going to enjoy the tragedy of Klal Yisrael. Elag bevo pachtem, I will mock when pachad comes upon you. Okay, we want one more pasuk. Pasuk of Zayin bevo kishoa pachtechem. Shoa means what we translate as the Holocaust. If you look at the Mitzudos Sion, kishoa kichoyshech, darkness. Kemo emes shoa shoa. It means desolation, chaos. Normally the word show is translated as chaos, which is not necessarily associated with darkness, but here it's translated as darkness. Bevo, when comes, kishoa pachtechem, when comes the pachad upon you in darkness, when the dark experience, when your dark and fearful experience comes upon you, the eitchem kesufa yeseh, tragedy will come like a whirlwind. Yeseh means to come. Bevo alech, when it comes upon you, tsara v'tsuka, two different words which mean similar, the same thing. A tsara, I saw in the art scroll, he translates one as an internal tsara, one as an external. Sometimes a person has a tsara which no one can tell. You're just tormented inside psychologically. Psychologically, something is bothering you. And it's not obvious, and people who are observing don't understand, why are you so troubled? It's a beautiful day outside. Everything is fine and good. Everyone is here. Everyone is healthy. What is bothering you? And the answer is, you know something that they do not know. It's an internal pain. That is called the thing that is called the tsuka. A tsara is something which is obvious. It's external. It's you can see the world is collapsing from beneath us. A tsuka is something which is not so obvious, but yet sometimes it can be even more painful, more frightful.
But obviously, it's a borrowed expression. B'chol eis tsara b'tsuka.
B'chol eis tsara. I mean, that's a bar from here. Maybe it means. I mean, where is it coming from?
Oh,
here is the pasuk.
Maybe it's still
okay. I don't know. Could be. But over here, we have a total over here. I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think 5 different words. There's some repetition in these psukim. There's an aid, aleph yudalid. There is pachat. There is shoa. Okay, then show is repeated together again with the word pachat. Okay, then there is tsara v'tsuka. you want to say the kisufa, kisufa is not, maybe you want to say that's another term. Kisufa means a whirlwind, but it's really just coming to explain, it's coming to elaborate, to describe the nature of the eight. I think in total we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different terms. These five different terms correspond. Well, if you really want to say tzar v'tzuka, maybe it's one. Tzar v'tzuka, maybe, you know, it's just one. It's one. That would seem to parallel, you know, the number four is a popular word here. If we go back to Pasuk Chof Dalid, how many expressions of criticism? There were also four. Karasi vatimo enu. Okay, I called out. Nati, that's number one. You refuse. Nati siyadi is two. Number three is vatifru chol atzosi. That's three. Vesechachti lo avisem is four. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying there are four things I've done, I've four attempts I have made to bring you close to me, to inspire you to do tshuva. Again, I called, I stretched out my hand, I gave you advice, I gave you etzah, and I gave you musar, corresponding to those.
We had the four malachos,
the four. Well, he said, yeah, he spoke about, yes, that's what Michal said. Michal said that idea. I mean, that goes back also to the four we mentioned in Pasuk Chaf. That's Mechachma. We were crossing over to different topics. When Chachma responds, we contrast Chachma verse evil, there were four expressions as well. There's Chachmos Bachutz Torona. Chutz with Torona. Then there was Bar Chayvois. That's the second location, and there it's Titin Koyla. The third location was Berosh Hamios, and there it's Tikra. And the fourth place was the Pischei Shadim Vuir, and there was Amarecha Semer. So it seems over here that the number four is a very, at least in these psukim, is very popular. There are four different expressions. What?
Not every set of four items is indicative of Arba Malka.
Correct, right. But
I said yesterday because it fits.
Okay. Okay, so these are the four different expressions of Kodesh Baruch Hu taking delight in Chas Hashem, Klal Yisrael Tzar. I just saw yesterday very briefly, Rav David Cohn has a number of Sfarim on Tanakh called Ohel David. So I tried to see if he has something on Mishle. He has very little on Mishle, but he has one of his Sfarim he has on this pasuk. He asked a very obvious question. I don't have the Chazal in front of me, but the Chazal says that Kodesh Baruch Hu rejoices over our tzaros. So there's a pasuk that says something along these lines. And the Gemara... So the Gemara asks the question, really? Because Kodesh Baruch Hu takes delight, Kodesh Baruch Hu rejoices? And the Gemara concludes, I don't remember where the Gemara is, the Gemara concludes, Hashem, the Chas V'Shalom, does not rejoice over our tzara, but he causes others to rejoice. Whenever Chas V'Shalom Klal Yisrael finds themselves in an Eis Tzara, Hashem has no joy. There's no joy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as punishment for us, causes the nations of the world, our enemies, to rejoice. He, Hashem himself, does not rejoice, but he causes other people to rejoice, and that, of course, is very painful for us to witness other people enjoying our tzara. So now there's Rav David Cohn asked the question. Well, yeah. Oh, okay. You've seen the whole Gaza war. This whole operation. This whole thing was. What's going on there? It's the Umos Ha'olam, the United Nations, all the nations of the world. Every time Chas V'Shalom something happens, they're rejoicing. It's a very painful experience. So he asked the obvious question. Chazal never rejoices. How then can it say here in these two psukim? What do Chazal do these two psukim here? Where it's clear as day. Some even more frightening. Psukim, Eschok, and Elag. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoices over our aid, our tragedy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he mocks us, Bevo Pachtechem. So what's going on over here? So how do we reconcile this contradiction? So he doesn't give any answer. He leaves it as a tzarchim, but what he does say is, we have to say that there's a difference between the word Yosis, which is the other, which the Chazal Soson, and Eschok and Elag. That, okay, he doesn't explain what this means. He just says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's something called Sason. Sason, from what he seems to be saying is an inner happiness, taking real personal delight. that darga of sason, the Gemara says, Chas v'shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself would never have personal pleasure, personal joy, inner joy in witnessing our tragedy. But these expressions, eschok and elag, they're more external. They're not. They don't really capture the person's true inner feeling. These are external manifestations of joy. They don't necessarily mean a Kadosh Baruch Hu personally has pleasure.
Elag in modern Hebrew means
to mock,
mocking.
But so it doesn't necessarily mean that you yourself believe in it. It's just words. But eschak is something which is a little bit more difficult, because eschak, I think we would say, but tischak liyoyim acharon, asara tzachok. Tzachok osli elokim. Yitzchak is synonymous with yischak. At a bris mila, we don't say yitzchak. Ozimole tzachok pinu. So what is that? So Rav David Cohen seems to be saying is it's right. It's a very high form of joy, but it does not reach the joy called sason. Many of the commentators they try to differentiate between sason and the simcha. In fact, you have a Gemara in Masechta the Sukkah talks about there were two apikarsim. One apikaris' name was Sason, and the other one's name was Simcha. And each one was trying to outdo the other one. Each one was quoting, they were became these apikarsim, they were big talmidei chachamim. They knew Tanakh on their fingertips. Each one was quoting psukim, showing that Sason is greater than Simcha, Simcha is greater than Sason. And the Gemara, the Mefarshim, the Gra, there are many commentators that try to explain the difference between Sason and Simcha. One of the things, the simple interpretations is that Simcha is an external manifestation of joy, whereas Sason is an inner expression of joy, and therefore that would be true. That to some degree explains that
Sason is better than Simcha.
It's different. Sason is internal. Simcha is external.
Internally joyful. So that if it's an external thing, doesn't necessarily mean it might be a show off. It doesn't necessarily mean that.
Exactly. Just the chitza, but we do things externally to awaken our inner self. You go to a wedding, you go to a simcha, you may come there in a very bad mood. Okay, before you come, you may have just had a fight with your wife, chas v'shalom. And then you come, and you listen to the beautiful music, and you look at the chas and kala, and how happy they are, and you melt away. The external, the environment has an influence over your inner feelings, and you walk out of the wedding hall in a very happy mood. So simcha, external expressions of joy, are therapeutic to calm down a person's inner feelings. So is what? Right, Shaul, he played music in order to inspire Ruach HaKodesh. In fact, Gavin, tell me, some Mizmar begin with David Mizmar, Mizmar LeDavid. What's the difference between LeDavid Mizmar, Mizmar LeDavid? So it's a very common explanation, I think it's even a Medrash, that LeDavid means David reached Madrega of Ruach HaKodesh, and that brought forth Mizmar. The Mizmar was an outgrowth of his divinely inspired situation. And when it says Mizmar LeDavid, it means David just sat down by the harp and started playing, and through the music he inspired himself, he brought himself to a madrig of Ruach HaKodesh, where he became LeDavid, and then was able to compose the Mizmar. So there it goes, Simcha goes both ways. Sichok, I don't know if this is true, has two of the letters of Simcha. It has the Sin and has the Ches. Okay, there's a question, what exactly is the Sharish of a word? Is it two letters or three letters? But perhaps the word Eschak relates to Simcha. Simcha is something which is external, according to some commentators. Elak, certainly mockery, is something certainly which is just a matter of words. It does not necessarily reflect a person's true feeling. That's not comparable to a much greater intensity of joy called Sason. And this is how Rav David Cohen is coming to reconcile this contradiction in Chazal, where it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never chas v'shalom take joy, take delight in the suffering of Klal Yisrael, the most that Kadosh Baruch Hu would do was he would cause our enemies to rejoice and they would torment us, but he does not rejoice. Here it does not mean Hashem is rejoicing. Hashem is just showing external signs of simcha when we suffer because of our evil deeds, because we have failed in four different ways of accepting Kadosh Baruch Hu's overtures to do tshuva, to come close and to return to him. So let's take, yeah. Well, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says our perception of Kadosh Baruch Hu, or that Kadosh Baruch Hu causes the nations of the world to rejoice over our suffering, that is our perception. If Kadosh Baruch Hu was allowing them to rejoice, it seems like Kadosh Baruch Hu was rejoicing, otherwise he would not allow this to happen. So, yeah, that's all part of the same idea. Okay, let's take a look at the Mesudas for these two psukim. The Mesudas David says, Gam ani l'chein yifor, gam ani lo achois aleichem, I will not have compassion upon you because you have rejected me in the four different expressions mentioned in the previous two psukim. I will no longer have compassion. The eschak b'voy etchem, I will rejoice when a tragedy comes upon you. Pasuk of Zayin, Bevo, at the time, Be'es Bo Lochem Pachat, when Pachat comes upon you, Kichoshech, like darkness. So he's turning the words around, he's switching the words around in the Mitzudos. You have to read the words backwards. Bevo, where comes Pachat, when Pachat comes upon you, like darkness. It makes it easier to translate the Pasuk. Ve'etchem Kiruach Sara, and when the tragedy comes upon you like a whirlwind, Ulitoisefes Be'er, Omar Bevo Aleichem Tzar Vitzuka, and as an elaboration, it says more words Tzar Vitzuka. Rashi, yeah.
Because he holds that the word Shoah means darkness.
Yes.
So it's repeating the same thing twice. You know, the Milah Mashonis.
According to Mitzvah, he very often, that's what he always says, that he says that just poetic. He doesn't very rarely does it.
He learns the pshat of Shoah is because of Sufa.
Shoah corresponds to Sufa. That Sufa, whirlwind, is a time of darkness. Okay, very good. Okay, it's a time of darkness that corresponds to the Eden, the Pachad of at least.
It's a whirlwind of darkness.
A whirlwind of darkness, absolutely. Rashi is very short. Keshoah, ke'onon ho'ila pisam. Shoah, a new translation. If you take all the translation of Shoah in Tanakh and all the information of a whole long collection, his Shoah is a cloud which comes upon the world suddenly. Is that what we associate the Holocaust? A cloud? A dark cloud that came sudden? It wasn't so sudden. It wasn't so sudden, but. Okay, so some will talk and say it was Sunday because the people would have seen it coming, they would have escaped. If people would have seen the Holocaust coming, they would have run away. They couldn't run away, they were trapped. All right, this is enough for now. Okay, I just want to point out, it's just always very interesting. We had in Yeshai a few times, the word Shoah is the word that we use today more often than not to define the Holocaust. And it's used in Tanakh multiple times, and it's used differently. It's not always used the same way. In Yeshaya, it's more often used in the term of chaos. Chaos. Chaos is not the same as the way it's being used here. It's being at least being translated. You can say whatever you want, but the way it's being translated by the major commentators here is a dark cloud that comes suddenly. Darkness. Definitely true for the Holocaust, but it would, okay, this is...
We say after Elaine, Altira and Pachat Pisan,
yeah.
Shoah is Shoah. So if you can say that Pisan matches Shoah, so that's what Rashi says, it means Pitom, sudden.
Aha. Altira mipachat pisom umishoas. It's a suddenness. Suddenness. Okay, very good. The Mitzudos doesn't say that at all. The Mitzudos makes no mention of Rashi. Rashi is very good because Rashi indeed focuses on. Okay. 1 second. The Mitzudos stuff, it says it means darkness. It doesn't say about anything sudden. Okay, now let's go to the next pasuk. Oz yik ro unini v'lo e'ene. Then you will call out to me, and I will not answer. Yeshacha ru nini v'lo yimso unini. Now, what does it mean, yishacharuni? This is a very interesting word. A very interesting word. It means to seek, derisha. Both the Mitsudos and Rashi say kimat the same thing. The Mitsudos says, in derisha, kumo lashachar ponecho, we have later on, to seek your face. Okay, why is, and Rashi says kimat the same thing, yivakshuni. Okay, I'm not exactly clear why the word shachar, shachar normally means the dawn. It means dawn.
No, but it means it in the sense of shocher, to dig. Like
to dig?
Toe.
Ah.
Shocher means to dig.
To dig. Okay, to dig. And how does that relate to the word shachar, to the morning? Shachar?
It's a different word, shachar.
Why is it the same letters?
It's the same letters.
If you have two words that have the same letters, there must be a relationship. Cannot be. There must be a relationship.
Eruv has all kinds of different meanings of the same.
But a lot of these words, when you study them very carefully, you'll notice they all are related. They all are related. There's a common thread which runs down them all. Okay, right now let's just focus. It means you will seek me, you'll call out to me and I will not answer. You will seek me and you will not find me. But let's take a look at the Mitzudus Pasuk of Chavtes Tachas Bavur Asher Sonu Das, because you hate knowledge. Now this seems to indicate, according to the Mitzudos, that we're only referring to the fourth category. Remember, we had four different categories of people. We had three. We had the Pesi, the Leitz, and the Ksil. The only one that hated Das, I don't know why the Mitzudos is doing this, he's referring specifically to the Ksil. The Ksil is the one that was Sone Das. He doesn't focus on the one that loved the Pesi, which had a love for foolishness, and the Leitz, which had a chenda for Leitzonis. For some reason, the Mitzudas focuses specifically on the Kasil Tachas Bavur Asher Sanudas. Because you hate knowledge, that's why when you call out to me, I'm getting all confused. I'm reading the wrong Mitzudas, that is why. I'm sorry. Pasuk Chavches in the Mitzudas, I jumped ahead to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Chavches Oz Bevo Hatzara Yikru Uni Yikru La, you'll call out to me and I'm not going to answer you. Okay, Rashi says, we didn't finish the Rashi, the previous Rashi. Kesufa, that's just the French word. Yossas, Yavo, okay.
Turbulence.
Ooh, okay, look at that. Turbulence, okay. Turbulence. You ever hear the pilot? The pilot of the plane will say, well, now we're entering into, fasten your seatbelts. We're coming upon Kesufa. Kesufa. Ayin, Rashi, you'll hear the pilot say, we're entering Kesufa. Ayin, Rashi, Mishle, Pasik, Chof, Chav Zayin. So next time you're a pilot, that's what you'll announce. Okay, Pasuk Chav Ches Yishach. We did that Rashi Yivakshuni Mipidarkom. That's already Rashi is jumping into the next Pasuk. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Chav Tes Tachas Kisanu Das. The Yiras Hashem Levacharu. Why will this happen? This will happen to Pasuk because you hate knowledge. The Yiras Hashem Levacharu. You have failed to choose. Yiras Shemayim is something that a person must choose. Akol bidei Shemayim, chutz miyiras Shemayim. Everything in this world we are giving bechira chafshes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this world to make decisions. The problem is, every decision more or less has been made already on our behalf. When we come into this world, it is what it is. Akol bidei Shemayim. So what decision do you have yet to make? Yiras Shemayim. That's why the Pasuk of the year says, Yiras Hashem lo v'choru. It's that you have not chosen. That's the true decision you have in this world. Pasuk, Rav, Mitzudas Pasuk, Pasuk of Test Hakas, Bavur, Asher Sonu Das. You hate knowledge. That's why this terrible tragedy will come upon you. Pasuk, Lamed, Lo Avu La'atzasi. You did not want. Avu always means in this context to want. You did not want to listen. Or you did not want to take seriously my counsel. No'atzu, you rejected. Noatsu is not just rejected, you despised. Despised, you rejected with derision. Kol toichachti, all of my rebuke. Mitzudas pasuk lamed, lo avu, lo ratsu. Lishmoa atzasi. The Mitzudah says you must add an invisible word into the pasuk, the word lishmoya. Noatsu, bazu hatoichacha, you despised, you disparaged Musar. Rashi, there is no Rashi. Pasuk lamed. What?
Okay, me absolutely.
Niatzna, okay. I remember once reading somewhere that the word Nazi, the Nazi party, it's not a coincidence that the Nazi party is related to the word Noatzu. Because they, first of all, they are the most despised.
It's an acronym.
That's right. It's not a word.
Enochanami, but it's not a enochanami. But that's haloi davar. Everything in this world is bahashgacha pratis. The fact is, that's what they are called. That is how they are known to the average man. The Nazi Party, Yimach Shemam v'Zichram, and it's not a coincidence that in Hebrew it means despised. They're despised, and here in the pasuk there did Noatzu Kol Toichach. They epitomize this concept. They epitomize. They reject with derision Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and the Nele, they themselves are the lowest of the low. Haloi davar, you can't say it's not a coincidence that such a thing that Hakadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He made it this way. Hamas is violence. Absolutely.
Hitler's name is Aid Alf.
Aid, very interesting. Aid means, Aid is a tragedy, a calamity. Adolf, Aid, and what's Alf? Alf is anger. A calamity of anger. His whole essence is tragedy. His whole essence to bring upon Af and Aid. All the, I mean, some of them farshim do these type of things. They analyze, Haloi davar, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything happens in this world by Hashgacha Pratis. Let's go further. Ke pasik lamid aleph, v'yoychlu mipri darkam umimo atzehem yisbahu. In punishment for rejecting, despising my Musar, they will eat from the fruits of their own ways. The person who goes around, comes around, and mimo atzehem, they will be satisfied from their own counsel. The things which they plan to do to others will boomerang and come upon them. Let's see pasik lamid mitzvus v'yoychlu ratzolaymakamo hanotea ilan oichel hu mipri. A person who plants a tree eats from its fruits. A person will suffer the consequences of his own fruit. Will be sated from the due of their own advice. They will receive what they deserve. There's a famous chazal that a person should never curse someone, because the curse is boomerang. Comes back upon the person themselves. The Gemara gives an example with David HaMelech. David HaMelech cursed Yoav, had a nephew who was his general, and there was a falling out between the two towards the end of David's life, and David said some very harsh things, some curses, and the Gemara says all of the curses that David said about Yoav came upon him, boomerang upon his own children. So it's a very frightening concept of not to do harm. Doing harm, you're only harming yourself. And likewise, when a person does chesed, you're really doing chesed for yourself. We all know, give tzedakah v'nasnu. The parasha giving tzedakah v'nasnu, the letters can be read backwards, can be inverted. You take the letters and you switch them around. It's kadma v'yazla, that when you're giving tzedakah, you're really giving tzedakah to yourself. Years later, it boomerangs, it comes upon you. Here it's saying, being said in the negative form, that the person will eat from his own fruit, and from the only counsel, the advice which he gives others, it will come upon him. The fruit.
They actually did something based on whatever they're proposing.
The fruit. Okay, so there's a famous, you are alluding to a Gemara Masechta Kedushin. We'll right away jump to the Gemara.
Saying we get a brach, the Gemara says you're supposed to say Gamatem. So in other words,
it goes back. The Gamatem, the Chaim Lamar, silk. And he did not say Gamatem. He gave him a bracha, and he did not say Gamatem. And then the recipient, and he was upset that if he would have said Gamatem, I also would have been benefited from this bracha. But the Mefarshim said that even if you don't say Gamatem, I'm a varich misparach. The one that gives the bracha automatically will get the bracha. Okay, let me read you the Gemara. Mayor, you're referring to a Gemara Masechta. I think you're alluding to this Masechta Kiddushin, Daf Mem Aleph. The Gemara is, I'll read the Gemara, Avera Yesh La Keren Ve'ein La Peras. A person does an Avera only as a principle. There are no dividends. When a person does an Avera in Shemayim, he has a debit. And that debit does not earn interest. There's just something taken out of his account, or there is something deposited in his negative account, whatever that means, and that's it. But there's no dividends. It's not like stocks go up and go down. That's the way it is. The ein la peros, which means to be punished. Yotzei mechdei rishai. How do we know this? Because it says in the pasuk in Yeshaya paragil pasuk gedalef, oh woe l'rasha ra ki gemul yadav ye'oselo. He'll just get what he deserves. Just gemul yadav. However, when it comes to a mitzvah, okay, I don't have the whole digmo here, but it comes to a mitzvah, elu dvarm shadim ochel peroseyem boilam hazeh, v'yakeren kayem eslo loilam haba. When it comes to mitzvahs, not only is there a principle, but the mitzvahs are continuously earning dividends. And that a person, in fact, that's what he has in this world. So the Gemara asked the question, what are you talking about? It's the beferish of pasuk in Mishle. In Perek Aleph, pasuk lamed Aleph, where it says, here we're discussing the wicked. Not only will they suffer the principle of their ways, they'll also suffer from the dividends. So it's beferish of haloi. But it says they will eat from the fruits of their evil ways, and from their advice. Yisbahu. So the Gemara says enochnani. It's not really accurate. There are two different types of averos. There's a private avera, and there's an avera which has dividends, which has raglayim. Ella, avera she'ose peros, yesh lo peros. But an avera she'ein lo peros, avera she'ein lo se peros, ein lo peros, and that's all a person has. In other words, a person does an avera, and other people are influenced. Person is watching, and they say, if he can do it, I can do it. And then the second person does the other publicly. And then the third person is watching. Oh, if that person can do it, I can also do it. And it spreads. It spreads like fire. The moral climate of society has been broken down, and it spreads. So when a person does a simple avera and other people learn from it and it spreads, then not only will he suffer for the actual sin that he has committed, he is responsible for all of the collateral damage. But if he does an avera in the privacy of his home and no one knows about it, and he's mechal l'shem shemayim privately, so Hashem just punishes him for what he has done, nothing more. So there are two different types of sins. But when it comes to a mitzvah, then even a mitzvah that's done privately, which no one knows about it, even that mitzvah, there are dividends. How that works, we are not exactly familiar with this concept, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is gracious. Not only does he give a person reward for the principal reward in the next world, he will give a person some dividends of that reward even in this world as well. But an avera, Hashem only gives you the principal. But of course, if the avera has collateral damage, then you have to suffer the collateral damage, and that's what this pasuk refers to the pre-darkum. Yeah.
It says pre-darkum.
Yeah.
It's not the avera. It's
the derech, the mahalach in life.
The is also the children. If your house, and let's say you're tying the double knot of Shabbos, so your kids will tie a double knot of Shabbos.
And the next generation will tie
so
a double knot.
So that's the peiros of the avera.
It's the darkum. It's the continuous the enchanani. Okay. So this is a very popular medrash. Okay, there's another very beautiful medrash. This fits in line with this week's parsha. Okay, this week's parsha Kiseitse, parsha of Zichiras Mechias Amolek. And it applies very much to Purim. I'll read you the words. The Gemara says, "More rock of the Shparuch Hu lina gim Amolek b'midas achzorius." Why in Parshas Kiseitse, the Shparuch Hu demands, the Shparuch Hu did that we should obliterate Amolek. Parashas Kiseitse is very interesting. It begins, the very beginning and the very end, begin with the concept of looking into the future. That's what the Smedrish come to tell us. Many of us, you begin with the Parashah Ben Soreh Umoreh. Right, we have over here the parasha of Yifas Toyar, and if the Yifas Toyar leads to a person taking Yifas Toyar, Chazal said, what kind of child will that wife produce? A child who is a ben sorer umore. What do you do with that child? You put him to death. Why does he deserve to die? What did he do? Right, he just stole a little bit of meat, drank some wine. The Torah was Yerda L'Soif Daitai. This child will one day stand by the crossroads and murder people for their money in order to satisfy his desires. That is the beginning of Parashas Kiseitse. But that's the end of Parashas Kiseitse. Because end of Parashas Kiseitse comes Baruch Hu told us to obliterate an entire nation, Amalek. Amalek, the Pasuk says, what did they do already? So they went to war. So we were traveling the desert, and they took the bris milah, and they threw it into the air, and they tried to attack us. They went to war against us. So for that, the entire nation, women, children, taf and nashim, and property have to be obliterated. There was a war. There's Edom, there's Moab, there's Og, there is Sichon. So they're a wicked nation. So we'll go to war and we'll deal with them according to the laws of the Geneva Conventions. Okay, well, that's how we'll deal with them. Why do we have to obliterate Noshim Vitaf? The answer is the Torah was Yerun L'Sev Daitam. The Torah at the time of just like a Ben Saramora, at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim when Klai Yisrael was in the desert, HaKadosh Baruch already saw there would be a Haman, and there would be a Haman, and Haman would say to Achashverosh LaHashmid LaHarog ULaAbed Es Kol HaYehudim Minar VeAdzokein Biyom Echad. No survivors, women, children. Holocaust. We saw what they're capable of. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already Yerud L'Soif Daitam at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The beginning of the parasha, we show this idea on an individual level for a Yachid. And the end of the parasha, we bring out this point on a level for a Tzibur, for a nation. And the Medrash, where do we know this from? How, who gives you the right to say that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Maybe indeed the fact that they went to war, the sin of jumping into a boiling hot tub, as Rashi says, that itself was deserving to obliterate them as a nation. No, that's not the whole picture because of this medrash. The medrash says, this is a medrash in Psikta Rabosi, Parsha Yud Gimel. Let me read you the whole thing. Moroha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Linog Im Amolek B'midas Achzorios. To be known with Midas Achzorios, Sh'omar Tim Chazech Amolek. So, and to obliterate, I'm jumping around. So, the medrash says, Ela Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Act them low, let me give them now what they deserve, mimasha osila saisa, what they're going to do in the future. Golivio bitsofu lefonai, homon harasha, osiligzar, minar viad zokain, tafinoshin biomechod, lekoch defakadosh baruch in advance says, timcha zeka amolek, lama viyoichlu. This is the source. Mipri darkam. Let them get right now from the fruits of their own ways. Fruit is something which comes later. The tree is here. It's the winter. There is no fruit. Why should I destroy the tree? It's a beautiful tree. The fruit, why? Because the fruit that will come from this tree is poisonous. The pre-darkam, the pre of this derech, of this tree, is poisonous. It will destroy the world. So therefore, let's destroy the tree in advance. That's Ben Sarimor, and that's the Maisa of Amalek. Ki Homo Ben Amdot Sarikol, Yehudu goes on to elaborate upon this, but that's the basic gist of this idea. Omar Ima Sefer, and he's very beautiful here, this part is very nice, how he reads this into the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Omar Im HaSefer. It says in the Sefer, Yoshuv Machashavto Horo'o Asher Choshav Ala Yehudim Al Rosho. So here's the homiletic interpretation according to the Medrash. Be'ezah Sefer, which, it's Omar Im HaSefer. It says in the book. Which book? Elab Sefer Torah. It says in the Sefer Torah. Dichsev, Kisov Zos Zikarn B'Sefer, Ki Mocho Em Chazech HaMolek. So it says in the Sefer, Yoshuv Machashavto Hora'ah, Bevo Gzeras Haman, She'os Ligzer Al Yisrael, Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar B'Torah, Limcho Zazech HaMolek, Lehanisham, to destroy them, Kifi Mashasidim Lasos. It says, Im HaSefer, Yoshuv Machashavto Hora'ah, that the evil thought shall come upon them in advance. because of this concept, the convention concludes, the yoichlu mipri darkam umimo atso sehem yespahu, they should be satisfied from their evil deeds. Okay, let's see the mesudos very quickly. Pasuk lamed aleph. We're going to do that part of the yoichlu ratzolaymar kamo hanote ilan yoichlu mipri roisav. We did the Rashi. Ready? Pasuk lamed aleph in Rashi. Rashi mipri darkam apero shoichlim bechayehem bitzoros hamotzos osam. These individuals, these wicked people, they will eat the peros of an evil life. They'll suffer in this world from all the different difficulties which come upon them. That's only the tip of the iceberg. And the evil people will suffer the ultimate punishment in the next world, in Gehenim, via keren shemura lohem begehenim. So the wicked people suffer doubly. They suffer in this world and they suffer in the next world. We learn Eiv, and Eiv it says just the opposite. Some of the wicked people, they have very good lives in this world. But there are all different types of wicked people. Some suffer in both worlds. Yes.
Apparently we failed by not killing Amalek.
Haman was able to do so. So we have to say, is that if what we did succeed in killing saved the world. Haman was a survivor. Agag was a survivor. They almost succeeded, Chas v'Shalom, in their plan. Could you imagine what would have happened if Klal Yisrael did not wipe out 99% of Amalek in the Midbar? If Shaul did not wipe out 99.9% of Amalek in his lifetime, would have left more survivors, more than just Agag, then the world would have been destroyed long ago. It's only because we did succeed to some degree in removing the vast majority of them. Yeah.
How do we equate that to Yahushua, when he was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu to go into Canaan and to completely wipe out everyone, otherwise they would never be able to control all of Eretz Yisrael?
Okay, so that's another, that's similar. They're not like Amalek. Canaan has a...
Why? Two different missions, though.
Okay, there are similarities. I don't know the answer. There are similarities between the nations of Canaan and the nation of Amalek. The nation of Amalek is worse, but there are definitely similarities. The nation of Canaan were given more options. There was more of a chance for them to surrender. Amalek also, according to some opinions, is given an opportunity. There are different opinions, different degrees. Okay, but this is okay. Let's go further. Now, pasuk lamed beis ki meshubas pesoyim tahargeim v'shalvas kisilim ta'abim. There are different translations of this word. According to the mitzudos, the word meshuvas parallels the end of the pasuk shalvas. Shalva means tranquility. That's clear. The tranquility of the kasil destroys them. In other words, they destroy themselves. When a kasil, a fool, lives a life of tranquility without taking seriously his purpose on this world, that itself is the source of his own destruction. That idea is expressed, is repeated according to the Mitzvot, the beginning of the Pasuk, the Shuvas. The Shuvas means like Shabbos, the peacefulness. The peacefulness, just another word which is equivalent to shalvas, of the pesi, there's the pesi and the ksil. It's tahargeim, it brings upon them their own death. Death and destruction. Let's look at the Mitzvah first, and we'll see Rashi has a different translation, but the Mitzvah first says, Meshuvas Ratzalaymar, Masha Bocharu lo sheves bahashket umar goa mibli torach ol torah. This, that the pesi chooses to live a life of peace and tranquility without being omel in Torah, without being bebli torach ol haTorah, hamar goa hahi, that tranquility, that laziness, that serenity, taharoig oison, is what's going to cause them to die. It's going to kill them. Peace, too much peace is no good. A person has to take seriously his person. It's hulki yikablu gemol. They will receive what they deserve. They have abandoned the ways of the Torah, and that leads to no good. That leads to insanity. The Gemara says that if you don't use your mind, if you don't shimum, that if there's, if you have even a woman of the wealthiest woman has an obligation to do certain things for her husband. She has to work. She's not allowed to sit on a chair and do nothing the entire day. Being a couch potato is bikuach nefesh. It brings insanity. Here it says tahar game. It brings death. And the end of the pasuk, same thing. Mishalvas hihi. It's the same exact thing. The kofel hadavar b'miloy shonas. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says the word shalvas shuvas does not mean Shabbos to rest. It means backsliding. It means es asher. Their heart is going backwards. It's going backwards. It is rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we always say, there's no such thing as a parva Jew. There's no such thing as being in the middle. You're always moving. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. A Pesi refuses to move forward. By refusing to move forward, by default, he's moving backwards. He is Shav. He's turning backwards. He's moving away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's following an evil lifestyle, and that will bring upon him Churban. So basically it means the evil of the Pesi will bring upon himself death, and the Shalvas Kesilim Ta'adim, and the tranquility of the Kesil will bring upon himself his own destruction. Rashi, the Shalvas Kesilim Ta'adim Lefi Sheroyim Harishoyim Shem Matzlichim Nidbakim B'Rasam Be'inim Chayzim. What does it mean, the Shalvas Kesilim? The Kesil, he looks at the wicked people, he sees that they have a good life, they have a life of tranquility, and then he says, let me, why do I have to be a tzaddik? Tzaddikim have a hard time in this world. They're always fighting, they're always struggling. Most of them don't have parnasa, they're always struggling. So why should I be like a tzaddik? Rather, let me go and be a ganef, let me be a murderer, let me follow in the evil ways of the Rishayim, I'll have a good easy life. And that's why he's called the kseil. He's foolish to realize that the end will only bring harm to Abdim, and that's why they do not do tshuva. Okay, next Rashi, next pasuk.
Also seems to say not doing anything is bad.
Right, because not doing bad automatically causes you to go backwards. Okay, next pasuk. Shemeshameli, Hashem says. Hashem now concludes this parak. Shlomo, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, concludes this parak by saying, "Vishameli." A person listens to me to observe the Torah, Yishkon Betech will dwell in security. Vishanan mipachad ra, and will be at peace from evil fear. Mitzudos, Vishmeli, Zehu Saif Divri HaChachma, this inclusion of the Ruchachma, Sha'amra Aval HaShmeli, person will listen to me, Yishkon Betach, will live with security, mina pachad ra, will have nothing to fear in this world. He's confident that pachad ra will not come upon him because he has faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi, Yishkon Betach, Ba'ilam HaZeh, Rashi has a little bit of a beautiful medrash. There are two expressions. A person is Yishkon Betach, he will live with security in this world, Vishanan, and a sense of serenity, tranquility, Le'olam Haba. Mipachad ra is midina shel gehenim. Three different categories. Shanan, what's shanan? Vihi shalav sheket. Shanan means he will be peaceful, like lashon of shalom, peaceful and tranquil. Vishanan lashon osid, it's in the future. He will be tranquil in the future. Lachay nakud bepatach. According to rules of grammar, it's shanan with a patach underneath the shin and the nun, and that gives it the form of the future. Okay, now there's a very beautiful medrash. I don't know the deeper meaning of the medrash, but I'll just tell you what the medrash says. The medrash says in Tanakh there are four people who were subject to listening. Two of them listened and were successful. Two of them listened and were not successful. Now, what does this mean? It's a very beautiful. You heard this medrash before? I never heard this medrash before. It's beautiful. Let me explain. Yesh Shoneya Vihifsit. There was an individual who listened and suffered for his listening. Yesh, there's another person, it's a nice riddle. Shoneya listened, Viniskar, and he was rewarded for listening. Yesh, there was a person, Lo Shoneya, he did not listen and he the hifsid and he suffered, and there's another person who did not listen and was successful, the nisga. Who are these four people? Who is the riddle? Okay, it's a riddle from Shimshon HaGibar. Shimshon HaGibar was the used to give out riddles. Who was the one that listened and suffered? Take a guess.
Yeah.
No. Adam. Adam listened to his wife. Man, the first man listened. Ze Adam shamea v'hefsid. The riddle is Adam Harishon. Ula Adam Amar. Hashem said, Ki shamata, because you listened. The kol ishtecha. Oh, orata. So now you're cursed, and you're going to die, you're going to suffer. All the klalos came because Adam listened. Okay, next one. Who was the one that listened and was rewarded?
Abraham.
Why? Who did he listen to? He listened to his wife. Toto, it's about his wife. Kol asher tamar elecha sara shema b'koila. And he listened, and he got rid of Yishmael. And what was the reward? The reward was ki b'yitzchak yikare lecha zara. The reward is Yitzchak, the nation of Klal Yisrael, was a major medrash, because the medrash of here is telling us this is an incredible medrash. Okay, we don't really appreciate the nuances of what's taking place. The only reason why Avraham merited to have a nation of Klal Yisrael was because he listened to his wife. That's what it says. If he would not have listened to his wife, Yishmael would have ruined Yitzchak. He would have ruined. And then what would there be? There would be nothing. There would be Yishmael, as we know, is trouble. And then there would be nothing. There wouldn't be a Klal Yisrael. It's only because Avraham listened to his wife. You listen to your wife, what do you get? You get a Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's what it says. That's the Medrash, an incredible Medrash. A whole new look. The Medrash is the Psikta Rav Kahana. You dial it. Okay, I'm very selective. You should know in the Midrashim. I have a lot of Midrashim here. I'm only giving.
Don't repeat it on Friday.
I'm only giving you. Well, this is a good one. This was a good one. He listened to Sarah. Kol Asher Taima Sarah. Yesterday was the one that I can't repeat on Friday. Okay, the next one. Who the third riddle? Who is the one that did not listen and suffered? Who's the one that did not listen? Going further, okay, who is the one that did not listen and was rewarded? A man that had contact with a woman.
Yosef.
Always dealing with women. Women is always the source of trouble.
Source of all evil.
Source of all trouble, women. Who is the one that did not listen and was rewarded? Yosef. Eshes Potifar. Loy Shema Viniskar. Ze Yosef. Veloy Shama Eleha. Lishkav etzla, what was the word? The Yosef Yoshis Yodai Aleinecha. That Yosef, the part of the Medrash says that Yosef lived a very long time. He did not die in the lifetime of his father. Yosef lived a very long time. That you would think, what was the reward? The reward was Ben Paras Yosef, Ben Paras Ale Ayin, Oile Ayin. There's no Ayin Hara. That's what I would think, right? If you would ask me to finish off the Medrash.
Or you have an Ashen Ephraim, he had two.
He had two.
Or it came out of him.
That came out of him. Two tzaddikim. Or he rose to power. Or he had this no ayin horiz, not shoylet. Ali ayin, oily ayin. No, that's not what the Midrash says. It's shocking. You know, you read the Midrash, and you know the riddles, but in the riddles are amazing insights into how Chazal looked at real reward and punishment. The reward was, he lived. He lived a full life. He did not die in the lifetime of his father. Otherwise, the punishment for listening to Esh Potifar would have been, according to the Midrash, to die prematurely before his father died. Fascinating. Okay.
What about the other Shvatim? They died before?
The other Shvatim?
I don't think any of them. No, died first.
Yosef died first,
right.
So certainly. Well, they didn't have the Nisayon. The other Shvatim did not have the Nisayon. They were living in a ghetto. Right? There was no internet. They didn't have internet connection. Only Yosef, he had Wi-Fi. He was the only one who had a smartphone with no limitations. Okay, he was part of the modern culture. Okay, the next one of the riddle is the one that did not listen and was rewarded. Loy Shamu, who did not listen and suffered. Who was the one that did not listen and suffered? The last one in the riddle is Klal Yisrael. And that's what it says over here, this pasuk. That's the pasuk over here. V'leshamu, not quoting this pasuk, this parallel to this pasuk, but he's quoting the pasuk in Yirmiyah. Pasuk in Yirmiyah, it says, V'leshamu elai v'lohitu es ozam. Klal Yisrael did not listen to me. They did not turn their ear to listen. And what's the pasuk? The pasuk says, pasuk goes on to say, Asher Lamoves, Lamoves, Tasher Lacherev, Lacherev. The pasuk goes on to say that the Churban came. The Churban came and there was destruction. Klal Yisrael did not listen to the words of Kadosh Baruch Hu, because they did not listen to the rebuke of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Golus, the Churban came, and that parallels what it says in the pasuk over here. V'shaymei, if you only listen to me, if you listen to me, Klal Yisrael, Yishkon Betach, you listen, you will be rewarded in this world, in the next world, and you'll have nothing to fear about Gehenna. It seems like we're breaking up three different categories. There's this world, the next world, and then there's another category of Gehenna, nothing to worry about. So this is the riddle. Three of them involve women. And the third is a mashal between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is also to some degree, a chazal compare our relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu as a man and a woman. Okay, so this concludes the first parak. Let's jump in very quickly to the next parak. Pass the parak base, Pascal Bini, Imtikach Amoroi, Umitzvosai Titzpo Nitach. Okay, this is a continuation. There are a few psukim which have to be read together. They go into Pasuk Hey. Jump ahead to Pasuk Hey for a moment. Oz Tavin Yiras Hashem. Then you will understand Yiras Hashem. So, but we have to do all of the things listed in Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Dalet in order to merit the Oz. You just read Pasuk Aleph alone, it doesn't make any sense. So, Bini, my child. Im tikach amoroi, if you will take my words seriously, umitzvosai, my commandments, titzpon itach, you will hide, you will cherish with you, to do what? We'll read the psukim now very quickly, lahakshiv lachochma, to hearken, to pay close attention to chochma aznecha, lachochma aznecha, tate libcha, litvuna, and you will turn your heart to tvuna, ki im Labina tikra litvuna. If you'll only call bina under, you'll call out. I'm sorry. Tikra labina. You'll call out to bina litvuna tidin kolecha intivakshene kakosef v'chamatmonim tach besena. And you'll seek it out like a treasure. Then the pasuk goes on to say the merits that you're going to have. But let's before we get, we'll go through.
You know that people get excited when you tell them there's money.
When there's money,
it's money that they go looking.
Everything depends on money. The mighty dollar. Now, let's see the mitzudos pasuk aleph bini. Omar Shlomo b'mkayim Hashem leben techoshev li imtikach amorai b'libcha. Okay, you will be considered a child if you'll only take. You'll take the words of my Torah in your heart. You'll be my bini. Rashi says the same exact thing. Bini, imtikach amoroi, bini tiye, imtikach amoroi. You'll be my child if you will take my words. You will identify as being mine. Next words of the Mitzvot is Titzpon l'shoimram min hashikha. It's not just to take them, but you also have to guard them and make sure you do not forget. I saw Rav David Cohen ask a question: why did Rashi and the Mitzvot wake up now and say this idea? Bini, you'll only be called my child in tikach amoroi. We could have said exactly the same idea back in Perek Aleph. In Perek Aleph, we also had Bini. Okay, we had Bini. In Pasik Ches. Okay, Pasik. What do you have? Pasik Tesvav Bini. Al Telech Bederech Itam. Okay. Menar Raglecha Menesiv Asam. So they say the same exact thing. If you go. If you don't go Bederech Itam, you don't go with them, you'll be my child. Right? Why couldn't Rashi say exactly the same? Why did Rashi hold off? Shma bini musar avichav yalti tarash tarasinecha. Except the musar. There's another pasuk. Pasuk yud bini im yifatucha chatoim al tov tovei. If the chatoim, the sinners, come upon you and they try to entice you to sin, don't warn, don't listen to them. Then you'll be called my child. So why all of a sudden Rashi wakes up Perek Beis and says this very bizarre Chazal, Bini Tihiye Imtika Chamorai. Rav Dovid Cohen says something amazing. He says, because you only can say this thing will be mine when it's positive reinforcement. When it's negative, when you tell don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, that's not going to, you're not going to connect with as a child and a father. When the child looks back 30 years and thinks of his father, he's not going to think of his father, he's not going to have the feeling of warmth of my father when the father hit him. All the negative things. Of course, the father has to do all these things. The father has to give mussar, the father has to hit. As we said many times, there are more negative mitzvahs than positive mitzvahs. There are 365 things that you're not allowed to do in the Torah, and there are only 248 things that you're supposed to do in the Torah. So not doing is the not doing is the agenda. That's the focus. But being called a ben, the love that is associated with the concept of father-son, kirachim of albanim, can only be accomplished through the positive reinforcements. If you don't take your child to the on a picnic, and you don't buy him an ice cream cone, and you don't buy him a toy for his birthday, and you don't do all of the good things, the positive things, and teach him the good things, give him the good time in life, he's not going to think back, he was my father. He'll think he was just someone who raised me. He was my landlord. He wasn't my father. You need the pasuk. It's a beautiful idea. Rav David Cohen, and he says that over here on this pasuk. Okay, so this is the Rashi and the Mitzudos. I have no midrashim on this pasuk, so we will stop here with pasuk Beis.